Darren now presenting for you our top five things. This is a look back at the top five things that happened on our morning show at Planet 93.9. I'm Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
And
hey, Darren.
Hello. The podcast brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They've got two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Both of those now open 7 days a week. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Number one.
Number one.
I'm going to describe something, and I want you to tell me what the brand is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a maple syrup, and it's in the shape of a matronly woman. What brand is that?
Mrs. Butterworth?
That's it! Mrs. Butterworth's.
Mrs. Featherbottom?
No, that's, again, we've talked about this. That's Arrested Development. Mrs. Butterworth's has been on the store shelves since 1961. She's an old lady who is full of maple syrup. They had a contest, name Mrs. Butterworth, because we never knew what her first name was.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning selection was Joy. So her full name is
Joy Butterworth.
Mrs. Joy Butterworth. The Mrs. would imply that there's a Mr. Butterworth. It's interesting to me that we've never seen him on the store shelves. What's his story? Whatever happened to Mr. Butterworth?
He died of diabetes.
Well, that makes sense. His wife always feeding him pancakes.
Now, were there commercials of there's commercials of Mrs. Butterworth where the bottle is talking, right?
Yeah, forever. That's been the gimmick. Yeah.
Kind of like the flute in H.R. Puff and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the gimmick is usually that the kids are sitting down to breakfast and
the bottle starts talking
to them. Mrs. Butterworth starts talking to them and everyone it makes sense.
Can only kids see her talk?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I've seen adults.
Adults can
also converse with Mrs. Butterworth.
She just doesn't turn back into just a
bottle. Don't tell your parents about
dum-dums.
This is not something your parents need to know about. That would be creepy, right? We can't have Mrs. Butterworth only talking to children. Or is it because their hearts are pure? They can understand Mrs. Butterworth.
They're going to try to talk you out of having sweet buttery treats every morning for breakfast. They're going to say it's going to rot your teeth.
Don't listen to your parents.
And make you fat.
Mrs. Butterworth loves you more than your dopey parents. Let's run away together.
Do you have any idea what they did to make you?
Mrs. Butterworth?
Yes?
How come you taste so yummy?
Well, my syrup is very thick and rich.
Thick and rich?
Twice as thick as the leading syrup. See how the leading syrup runs over this stack? But Mrs. Butterworth takes her own sweet time. My syrup's got to be thick to pour this slowly. Why, just one taste will tell you I'm thick and rich.
And yummy.
Oh, you say the sweetest things.
Yeah, back then, a woman saying she was thick meant something different than nowadays. Check out the caboose on me.
I taste like big and rich.
Your anaconda won't want none unless it's got pancakes, son.
Hello again. I'm Mrs. Butterworth. Know why folks just love my buttered syrup? 'Cause it's rich and thick. Now watch. See how long it takes Mrs. Butterworth to drip down the stack?
That just depends on how you're pouring it.
Yeah. I remember as a kid being creeped out by this lady. Just like, it's kind of nightmare fuel that this bottle of syrup comes to life and starts talking to you.
Your parents are going to talk you out of pancakes and waffles. They're going to try to get you to eat oatmeal.
Take your pants off and let me see what you got. But don't tell Mom and Dad. Mrs. Butterworth has to let the neighbors know when she comes into your house. I have to go have everybody sign this. I'll be right back. Oh, Mrs. Butterworth.
Wow, my syrup's got to be thick to pour this slowly. Now watch how fast the leading syrup runs. The truth is, Mrs. Butterworth's is twice as thick as the other syrup.
Look at the angles of the pour.
Oh, I may be a slowpoke pouring, but my taste is sure worth waiting for.
I don't know, man. I kind of like the syrup coming out fast. Is that weird? No,
wait a minute. Let's just take a look. Let's take a look at those bottles, how you're pouring them from the side.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is all messed up.
This is all Madison Avenue.
Here's Mrs. Butterworth in the 60s.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Butterworth.
Jeepers, you can talk?
Why, yes, of course.
Okay, Mrs.
Am I high?
Jeepers! This is why you shouldn't eat candy that your mother keeps way up high. That's not meant for children.
I think I got into my brother's LSD.
Don't look at yourself in the mirror. It'll freak you out. So Mrs. Butterworth is syrup that's in the shape of a woman. Honey in the shape of a bear. You've seen that on store shelves,
yeah.
Right? Now, can you tell me what brand that is? What brand has the honey in the shape of a bear?
Honey in the shape of a bear.
Yeah.
Yogi Bear honey.
It's a trick question because any honey can be in the shape of a bear.
Because bears love honey?
Well, yeah, that was the gimmick.
Do they really, though?
Do bears love honey?
I've never seen an actual bear eat honey.
Well, how much time are you spending watching bears eat?
I don't make my way to the forest much.
Two honeymakers from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Ralph and Luella Gamber, they came up with the idea of honey in a bear-shaped bottle.
The idea of the bear just basically taking a beehive, right?
Yeah.
And then just sticking his hand in there.
Yeah, that's
pulling
right.
out the honey. Never seen that.
I bet it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Do bears love honey? According to a wildlife biologist, they are, in fact, attracted to beehives.
Hmm.
But they also consume the bees and the larvae inside the beehive, which are a good source of protein. So they're not just about the honey. They want to eat all of it.
I guess I should have mentioned that to you
yeah.
when your son was running cross country.
What's that?
I had a friend who ran long distances, and he was good at it. He always had honey before every race.
That's interesting.
He brought a bottle of honey.
This is a biologist, a wildlife biologist in Alaska, who points out that there are no native bees in Alaska that gather in hives and produce honey.
Uh-huh.
The bees, that I guess, in Alaska are more solitary in nature. But they have stories of brown bears that will tip over beehives and then eat the honey. But they don't just eat the honey. They eat everything. And Winnie the Pooh is why everyone thinks that bears love honey, right? It's the Winnie the Pooh
Put
story.
Put some pants on, Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh and Mrs. Butterworth both have some real explaining to do. Back to the couple from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Gamber family. They had a place called the Dutch Honey Company. It's the late 1940s, right? And they were having dinner with some beekeepers. And that's when they had this idea, why don't we come up with a bear-shaped bottle for our honey. This was in 1957. The thing is, they didn't patent the idea of a bear-shaped bottle. And everyone else that had honey started taking the idea.
We'll just put it in a bear bottle. We'll make our own bear bottle.
Right. They never got around to patenting the bear-shaped bottle. So now anyone that has a honey company can have a bear-shaped bottle. And the reason they didn't patent the bear-shaped bottle is because they just assumed that if they did, they would get sued. Because everybody thinks of Winnie the Pooh when they see a bear and honey. So it wasn't that they didn't think the idea was worth protecting. They just assumed, you know, they're going to get taken to court by Disney. So they didn't put a patent on it. And now everybody has the bear-shaped bottles. If they would have just patented the bear-shaped bottle,
that'd have been it.
Yeah. Now you're in the bottle business.
Number two.
Lana Michaels has a boyfriend. His name is Sean. They met through a vegan dating app. Okay? She is a mother of two. And her kids are 7 and 11, all right? So you got Lana and you've got Sean. They are boyfriend and girlfriend. And they have a new TV show that's starting. I guess it starts airing on Monday night. The show is called Breastfeeding My Boyfriend. It's a TV show.
Well, that didn't take long. Man, you start dating and you get a TV show? Listen, we've got a pitch for you. It's an elevator pitch. And really, we're just going to give you the title of the show. Interested?
Breastfeeding My Boyfriend is about adult breastfeeding. And on the show, Lana and Sean talk about why they chose to breastfeed.
Now, why would she be capable of doing that when her kids are as old as 7?
She is a mother of two who missed nursing her children and started breastfeeding her boyfriend, claiming it gets them in the mood for sex. That's how they get hot and bothered for one another, is, you know, a little bit of a breastfeeding there. Lana used to work as a teacher. She has a 7-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old son from a previous relationship. And when they grew up, she really missed breastfeeding them.
So she did breastfeed him.
Uh-huh. She started experimenting with breastfeeding 18 months ago. And she argues that the physical energy that is created between the two of them before they have sex by the breastfeeding is just, it's just top notch. And for
No, I get it.
Do you?
Well, I mean, truth be told,
I need a little pick-me-up. We're both vegan, so I don't get a lot of protein. It's such a key part of their sex life. Lana says it's difficult to stop.
I don't see the sun much either. I'm lacking when it comes to any sort of vitamin D.
She says, I breastfed my children and I really missed breastfeeding and the feeling of it. She breastfed her son for 8 months and her daughter for 2 years. So when they grew up, she was left wishing they were still babies. She says, I don't want to have another baby, and my children are way too old to feed now, but I like the idea of breastfeeding with Sean.
And action.
Yeah. And Sean, for his part, has this to say.
It's very tasty.
Thanks, Sean. And where can I find this show?
They have an open relationship, and the two of them got the idea for adult breastfeeding after having a foursome with another married couple. Lana says here, I'd been sucking from another woman when I started feeling milk in my mouth, and that burned up the sexual idea of breast milk connected with sex, and we just went from there.
Huh.
You know, one thing leads to another. After the experience, Lana researched breastfeeding online and learned that she could restart her milk supply if only she would start taking herbal supplements. Well,
gotcha.
Obviously, it was off to the store to go get those supplements. And 3 days later, her breasts started flowing with milk.
And 5 days later, they had a show. Talk about rags to riches.
Oh, thank you! Thank you!
And this is on, what show is this on?
Well, this is going to be on Channel 4 over in the UK at first.
Okay.
I'm certain it'll get picked up by the Learning Channel here, right? This is right up their alley. Right after my 900-pound life and little people at the pumpkin patch.
Following Brood.
Keep us out of it.
No, it's like it's going to be the perfect lead-in.
No. How dare you?
Now, it's must-see TV.
3 days later, her breast started flowing with milk, and Sean latched on and gave it a try.
Latched on.
She says, we have sex about 5 times a week, And Sean breastfeeds a couple of times in a week. She's gone up to a 34D since she started lactating again. Sean says being breastfed is both arousing and relaxing. Quote, the energy is flowing between us when I breastfeed, and it can lead up nicely to sex. The couple are open about their kinks. They say breastfeeding is just one of many things they do in the bedroom. We play a daddy and a girl, a doctor and a patient, or a teacher and a student. We also like to go to swingers clubs. They want to.
Is there anything you don't like?
Yeah, maybe keep some things to yourself. You've somehow made this story even creepier. They want the world to know adult breastfeeding isn't weird. You're the weirdo, and there shouldn't be taboos around it. Sean argues there's more negative impact enslaving an animal like a cow than drinking human milk, which is made for us. There's no cruelty or pain in adult breastfeeding. She gets pleasure, I get pleasure, and I get nutrition. She's happy and I'm happy. So what's the problem? The problem is you're a grown man.
Putting on a little milk weight, though. I'm not going to lie to you. Getting a little soft.
Sean, what's going on with you, man? You look like you're falling apart.
What's with the spare tire?
My girl, she's really been lactating recently. You know what they say. No, Sean, we don't know what they say.
Number three.
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 Yesterday on the show, we told you just how many pumpkins come from the state of Illinois.
All of them.
Essentially, yeah. If you're having pumpkin pie, the pumpkin that you're eating in that pumpkin pie, more likely than not, came from Illinois. That's no matter where you're listening to us.
If you're
in the Quad Cities, or if you're listening to us on the other sides of the country.
The other
true, yes?
State that produces a decent number of pumpkins is California.
California is number two on the list for pumpkin production.
What do they do with their pumpkins then?
I don't know.
I mean, they don't get used for pumpkin pie filling?
What I'm saying is, what the pumpkin pie experts are telling us is that Illinois is number one on the list for pumpkin production. California is number two, and Illinois has more than double the production of California.
Right.
So.
And this is going on around Morton, Illinois, is a big pumpkin place.
Yeah, around Peoria. That's where all the pumpkins are grown. All of our nation's pumpkins, for the most part,
good
come.
Pumpkin land.
It's good to have good pumpkin land. Most candy corn, 85% of the candy corn in this country comes to us from a factory in Chicago.
Okay.
Ferrara Candy, the makers of Lemonheads. They also make Brock's Candy Corn, which has, again, 85% of the country's candy corn market. They're panicking now because they fell prey to a ransomware attack at Ferrara Candy, which has caused a disruption in production. And if you're a candy corn maker, now's not the time to have a problem with your production.
No.
Systems were hacked. This is according to Crane's Chicago business. Systems were hacked and encrypted, immediately prompting an investigation into the scope and cause of the infiltration. They are still working slowly to get everything back to 100%. Candy corn is pretty widely maligned. People don't love candy corn, right?
No, because it's just sugar. Just corn syrup, right?
I don't have a problem with the sugar. It's the waxiness of it all. It's just too waxy.
When's the last time you bought some wax lips?
Ooh, I don't know, but those are particularly fun. I was a kid. I may have even gotten them for trick or treat. I think there was a house that gave them out one year.
Yeah, there you go. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, okay. But see, here's the thing about wax lips. I enjoy wax lips because I know what I'm getting. They don't call them candy.
But
lips.
They're not candy. You just chew on you. When you're done with them,
yeah,
you chew on them and you spit them out.
You're not supposed to eat the wax lips.
No.
I suppose you could.
Mm.
But you don't have any desire to. Like
not
I understand.
Swallow it.
I understand the urge to swallow gum.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. But wax lips, at no time do you have that in your mouth and you think, this is something I should swallow.
Well, it's just too much.
Is that what it is? It's just too big?
You don't have that much gum in your mouth, typically.
Well, yeah, you're right. Too much wax lips. So it's a candy that's not designed to be eaten.
Well, I wouldn't call it candy.
That's what they call it. Wax lips are candy. The paraffin wax used in production is technically safe to chew and eat.
Ugh.
But the makers suggest you refrain from doing that.
I got a real gut ache.
Wax lips are typically discarded after everyone has had their fun, and they are never consumed. They make, the people at Tootsie Roll make wax lips, is that right?
Do they?
There's Tootsie wax lips? Yeah, like the fangs that you see, the Dracula fangs. Those are made by the American Candy Company and the Tootsie family.
See, now that's another thing we could do for Halloween. As opposed to everyone just getting dressed up.
Yeah.
If everyone just had wax lips.
That's not bad. That's,
you know, this is enough, isn't it?
That's not bad. The people at Ferrara that make the Brock's candy corn, currently operating at a limited capacity, they are working to fulfill all orders in their queue to ship to production centers or distribution centers around the country. But 2 weeks to go till Halloween, less than 2 weeks. We got 10 days till Halloween. This is not the time for them to not have the candy corn. Candy corn's still on shelves because I feel like people use it for Thanksgiving as well, right? It's really the only Thanksgiving.
Some sort of cornucopia?
Yeah, or it's used in like turkey cookies and stuff, right? Candy corn's the only
so it candy lasts into November.
Yeah, you got to give it that. They say that Halloween, if you're makers of candy corn, what percentage of your sales do you attribute to Halloween? Because I have the number here.
95.
Yeah, they say that Halloween accounts for less than 10% of their sales.
Oh, come on. Someone's cooking the books.
Who's using candy corn?
Like 90.
There are people buying candy corn in March, is what they want you to believe. Representatives from the company told Cranes that Halloween accounts for less than 10% of their sales.
Nah, I don't think so.
Thanksgiving's got to be a bigger holiday then for them than Halloween.
Are there green candy corns? Probably.
Green candy corns?
For St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, hadn't thought about that. Ferrara also makes 25 other kinds of candy, including Trolley, the gummy bears. They are also the official creators of Girl Scout cookies.
Huh.
Oh, boy. Ferrara and Brock's Candy merged 9 years ago. And then they got bought out. Ferrara and Brock's got bought out by Ferrero. So Ferrara bought Ferrara and Brock's. And then they bought the Nestle candy brands. So that's quite a sizable operation. Green candy corn. Like, I never thought about that. Do they make, like, pink candy corn for Valentine's Day?
Probably. Do you like the candy corn that has chocolate on it?
I didn't know that was a thing. That
yeah, they
sounds,
do.
That sounds disgusting.
No, it's better.
They have Christmas candy corn, so it's red, green, and white. No. What are you doing?
Guess what you're getting for Christmas.
I'd rather you didn't. Here's the different varieties.
That's why you're getting it.
There's Brock's Peanut Butter Cup candy corn.
That could be okay.
Brock's Sea Salt Chocolate candy corn.
That's better.
Brock's Pumpkin Spice candy corn. Brock's Birthday Cake candy corn.
There you go.
No, you know how I feel about foods that taste like other foods. That's a hard pass. No, thank you. Brock's Apple Mix candy corn. Brock's Caramel candy corn.
That's
ooh,
better.
I don't know. This looks like a winner. It's just honey and caramel. Okay. They say, though, that the taste is not terribly different from original candy corn. So all of these things that are different flavors, it's just candy corn in a different bag. birthday cake candy corn is said to taste like chocolate cake with vanilla frosting. There's also Brock's caramel macchiato.
Well, that's different because most things that claim to taste like birthday cake are typically vanilla cakes.
Yeah, you're right. Brock's celebration candy corn is red, white, and blue. So I'm guessing that's a 4th of July treat. I've never been to a party where they put out 4th of July candy corn.
Well, now you will.
This brings up another point, and this is something that has infuriated me from the get-go. Peeps are delicious, and they're good for me, but only for Easter, please. This idea of Peeps for Halloween and Christmas and all the rest, no. Stay in your lane, Peeps. You are a delicious Easter time treat. Don't put ghost Peeps on the show. What is this? What is this? This is an abomination is what this is. Peeps that are not bunnies or little chicks, I got no use for you. They got Tombstone Peeps on the store shelves right now for Halloween.
Creepy.
Yeah. A reminder of your eventual demise in marshmallow. No thanks.
In marshmallow form.
Yeah, I don't need this. They got like Frankenstein Peeps on the store shelves. What are you doing?
Number four.
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 Nightmare on Elm Street movie series. The first two movies were filmed at this idyllic-looking suburban house. That's Nancy's house from the Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy. The three-bedroom Spalding Square house is on the market.
No way to talk to a girl.
That's what Freddy Krueger says. You could get away with that in 1984. Now?
It's true.
No. And thank goodness. The two-story house was Nancy Thompson's home in the Wes Craven classic, A Nightmare on Elm Street and A Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Those were heady days. They really were.
So now they're selling the house from A Nightmare on Elm Street, listed here for $3.5 million. $3.5 million for a three-bedroom house. The house was previously purchased in 2013 for $2.1 million. They say it's so much fun bringing this house to market during a historic real estate inventory shortage. Oh, so that's why they can get away with charging 3.5 or something.
Well, and the fact that it's the Freddy house.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that means anything?
Got to mean something to somebody.
Right. Somebody's got to have it because it's where Nancy lived.
Only has to mean something to one person,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess. The facade, it says here, is iconic, but the ties to the movie stop as soon as you walk through the front door. I'm glad they mentioned it. Like, Freddy Krueger is not going to be in the house.
No.
It's a beautiful traditional style with a modern twist. All offers on the house are due on Halloween, which I guess makes sense. They haven't tried to bring back Nightmare on Elm Street with like a new Freddy, have they? It's always Robert Englund, friend of the show, by the way. It's always been him. There's not a new Freddy. Why is that?
Rob Zombie hasn't gotten his hands on that?
Yeah, I wonder what's going on with that. Because if Michael Myers can be making a ton of money, there hasn't been a Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, I stand corrected. They did a reboot in 2010. I guess I completely forgot about this. Do you remember who they had doing Freddy Krueger? Oh, I forgot that this happened.
Paul Rubens.
No, that would have been interesting. No, it was Jackie Earle Haley.
Ah. Kelly.
Kelly Leak from the Bad News Bears was the new Freddy.
Now, you know what would have been good?
Yeah.
Is if you'd have had Freddy riding around on the motorcycle.
Smoking a cig.
Yeah.
Out in the,
yeah, that would have been good. Just at least one scene.
So they did try to do a reboot, and everyone said, no thanks. Because if it's not going to be original Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, but that's
what are we doing here?
That's not bad, though.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. We're the Dream Warriors! Nightmare on Elm Street 4 was The Dream Master. Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. And then you had Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Freddy versus Jason. I think Jason wins that, right? Am I way off on that? So there was a New Nightmare, but that had everyone from the original movie in it.
When are they going to make another Funhouse?
What was Funhouse?
Funhouse was a horror movie, early 80s.
I don't know that one.
It's where you go to a monster is in the amusement.
So the
amusement park.
And it was a movie where it was haunted?
Had a monster.
They made a movie in 2019 called Funhouse. I suspect that's not the one you're talking about.
No, this would have been like 82.
Really?
Something like that.
I'm not seeing anything about that.
Do I have the wrong name?
Oh, 1981. The Funhouse.
The Funhouse.
Okay. A masked intruder attacks teenager Amy as she showers. The attacker turns out to be her younger brother, Joey, a horror film buff, and his weapon is a fake rubber prop knife.
Well, that's just the beginning of the movie.
That's kind of creepy, buddy. Against her father's wishes, Amy visits a sleazy traveling carnival with her new boyfriend, Buzz.
That's right.
Her best friend, Liz, and Liz's irresponsible boyfriend, Richie. At the carnival, the 14 smoke marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They then peep into the 21 and over strip show and heckle the fortune teller. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, it's a Toby Hooper movie.
They then visit the Freaks of Nature exhibit and view a magic show. Richie, the irresponsible boyfriend, dares the group to spend the night in the funhouse, which is actually a ride. After the park closes, the teenagers settle down inside the funhouse, at which point they witness the ride assistant, a silent man in a Frankenstein's monster mask, engage Xena as a prostitute. Wait a minute. The fortune teller is a hooker?
That's right.
And then the guy in the Frankenstein mask apparently gets to where he's going faster than he needs to in his pants. And then the hooker will not return the $100 fee. So then he murders her in a violent rage. This is a lot.
Blockbuster, really.
This, I've never heard of this. The Funhouse.
Yeah, saw it in the theater.
Really? Starring Elizabeth Berridge as Amy. Oh, she's terrific. She's from the Mozart movie. I love her. Cooper Huckabee is Buzz. Lago Woodruff is Liz. And Richie played by Miles Chapin. I've never heard of that.
But there's a freaky monster in the funhouse.
Really?
That's the big payoff.
But it's not the guy in the Frankenstein mask, it's another guy?
No, it's an actual monster.
Wow. I'm going to see if this is streaming. I might have to watch this weekend. Get me in the mood for, Halloween and whatnot.
Oh, it'll get you in the mood.
Really? Watching a guy in a Frankenstein monster mask experience premature ejaculation? That'll get me in the mood for Halloween, yeah. You think?
Different strokes for different folks.
Hey, I finished already. Can I get my money back? No, Frankenstein, that's not how anything works.
There's no prorating.
I didn't even get to take my pants down. I should get some of that money back. No, Madam Xena is not in the charity business.
No.
The fee is what the fee is. It gets pretty good reviews here.
That's what I'm telling you.
Gene Siskel liked the film and gave it a positive review back in the day.
Is that what you like, Gene Siskel?
Gene Siskel said, "This is it. You got to go see this movie, everybody. Especially when Frankenstein."
This speaks to me.
Two thumbs up. The feel-good hit of the fall.
Number five.
I don't know if you heard about this deal in Michigan. Guy is dead after being pulled into a wood chipper.
Mmm, those are the worst.
This is, yeah, okay. No, thanks. No, thanks.
No good.
48-year-old guy, they were working at somebody's house, apparently.
Oh boy.
They were a crew working at a private residence in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Dude got pulled into the wood chipper after his jacket got caught on a branch. Yeah, I'll wear the jacket because I don't want to catch cold. Co-worker who found the severely injured man inside the wood chipper called the authorities. This happened on Monday morning.
Oh, boy.
Emergency services performed first aid at the scene. They applied a tourniquet to the guy. He was still conscious, by the way, when the EMTs got there, but died on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, every time I see someone using a wood chipper,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I hope it ends. You hope it ends well.
I mean, you're almost better off. I'm sorry, you know. We hired you. We want you to take down some trees.
Yeah,
we're bringing in the wood chipper. We basically we get naked when we do the wood chipping.
It's not a bad idea.
We're just, you know, maybe some swim trunks.
Yeah,
maybe a Speedo.
Just
maybe
you're in Speedos.
Maybe you wear a Speedo.
Yeah,
but that's it.
I think that's a good plan. Not clear whether the wood chipper malfunctioned. They say every indication at this point is that his jacket got caught on a branch that was being fed into the wood chipper.
No, we only wood chip when it's warm enough for us to wear just a Speedo.
Right. Yeah. That's.
But otherwise, I'm sorry.
No.
You're going to have to wait till next summer.
There was a story in Oregon where an arborist was doing some work and had a helmet on. And fell into a wood chipper.
No.
Head first.
No.
And the helmet saved his life.
Well. Okay, a helmet and a Speedo.
Yeah, right? He's expected to live after he fell head first into a wood chipper.
But that's it.
He sustained serious injuries when his harness rope got tangled with tree limbs that were being dragged into a wood chipper. But his foot triggered the safety bar at the very last moment and stopped the wood chipper. Suffered a broken left leg and trauma to the back of his head, but the helmet he wore probably kept him alive, according to a firefighter who reported the scene of that accident. This is a guy in Springfield, Oregon, who's 20-something, it says here. Ugh. A helmet and Speedos. That seems reasonable.
Can you imagine that, being a parent, and it's like, yeah, I got a new job. Well, yeah, who are you working for? Wood chipping?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say no. I would say...
Come on.
Yeah, that seems very, very dangerous.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and then ultimately listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Also, thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for sponsoring it.
That's right. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location and order medicinal items online from the Milan location, both of those through Leafly, and you can find that if you go to the website ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.